Translation: thereafter, a horse named Uchaishrava, which was as white as the moon, was generated. Bali Maharaj desired to possess the horse, and Indra, the king of heaven, did not protest, for he had previously been so advised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tata airavato nama varanendro vinirgata dantais chatur bisvetadrer haran bhagavato mahim. As the next result of the churning, the king of elephants named Airavata was generated. This elephant was white, and with its four tusks it defied the glories of Kailasha mountain, the glorious abode of Lord Shiva. Airavana dayastu asto diggaja abhavamstata. Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Numanji ki jai, Gurnitai ki jai. Where was I? This elephant was white, and with his four tusks it defied the glories of Kailasha mountain, the glorious abode of Lord Shiva. Airavana dayastu asto diggaja abhavamstata abramu prabritai stocha karinyastu abhavanripa. Thereafter, O king, eight great elephants, which could go in any direction, were generated. They were headed by Airavana. Eight she-elephants headed by Abramu were also generated. Purport: the names of the eight elephants were Airavana, Pundarika, Vamana, Kumuda, Anjana, Pushpadanta, Sarvaboma e Supratika. Kaustubhakyam abudratnam padmarago mahodade tasmin manos priham chakre vaksholankarane hari tato bhavat parijata suraloka vibhushanam purayati artino yortai sasvadbhu viyata bhavan. Generated thereafter from the great ocean were the celebrated gems Kaustubha Mani and Padmaraga Mani. Lord Vishnu, to decorate his chest, desired to possess them. Generated next was the Parijata flower, which decorates the celestial planets. O King, as you fulfill the desires of everyone on this planet by fulfilling all ambitions, the Parijata fulfills the desires of everyone. Tatas chapsaraso jata niskakantya suvasasa ramanyas varginam valgugati lila valokanai. Next, there appeared the apsaras, who are used as prostitutes on the heavenly planets. They were fully decorated with golden ornaments and lockets and were dressed in fine and attractive clothing. The apsaras move very slowly in an attractive style that bewilders the inhabitants of the heavenly planets. Tatascha virabhutshakshad shri rama bhagavat para ranjayanti dishakantya vidyutsodamaniyata. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Purport: Shri means opulence. Krishna is the owner of all opulences. Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam nyatvamam shantim richati. This peace formula for the world is given in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. When people know that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the most intimate, well-wishing friends of all living entities, peace and prosperity will ensue all over the world. Unfortunately, the conditioned souls, being placed into illusion by the external energy of the Lord, want to fight with one another, and therefore peace is disturbed. The first prerequisite for peace is that all the wealth presented by Shri, the goddess of fortune, be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Mukham karoti vachalam pangurlangayate girim yatkripata mahambande shri gurum dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sichaitanam Ishwaram Hare Krishna Jai Shri Prabhupada. So, peace. Actually, this churning is wonderful. So many things appeared. But the most wonderful appearance is, of course, that of the goddess of fortune. And Prabhupada says that if we want peace, we have to offer whatever the goddess of fortune produces to Krishna. Otherwise, there won't be peace. Why there won't be peace? Because we, as conditioned souls, are fighting with one another to gain supremacy, to gain the center of everyone's consciousness for ourselves. Krishna Bhair Mukha Oya Bhagavan Chakare Nikatista Mayatare Japatiyadare. When we give up Krishna consciousness, we come into this world of illusion, which is like a world for diseased people. People that are like actors on stage, but that have forgotten to be actors, and they think they are the character they are. They are playing the part of. And each and every character of this world has got a common denominator, which is, I am the enjoyer. I am the person who has to enjoy and exploit nature. I am the person who is the Lord of nature in some, you know, portion or another, and I'm the real friend of the other living entities. I'm, you know, in the innermost core of my heart, I really, you know, I'm the one who can help and give affection and protection to others. We think like this in a smaller or larger scale. An ant, a father ant, mother ant, thinks like that for the small ants. A bird, a father or mother bird, they do that for their, you know, small, what do you call them? Small birds, huh? Cichlids, okay, whatever. Okay. So they do that. They go out in the morning, they try to find, you know, an insect to bring back home, you know, just that they there is no supermarket for them. They just go in nature, they get it, they bring it back. Oh, I got such a nice bug, you know, for you, for my family. So they, you know, and they think, you know, I am the real protector, friend, and I'm the enjoyer of my family like this. And others in a larger scale, you know, humans and demigods even, all we have the same disease. We are thinking we are Krishna in some way or other. So, in that way, we cannot get peace. Nasti buddhi, why? Nasti buddhi rayuktasya, chayak, na chayuktasya bhavana, Nachabhavayana Santira Santasya Kutasukam. I know I'm getting the verse. So if our intelligence is not clear, if our intelligence is not pure, our mind will be disturbed. And with a disturbed mind, we cannot get peace, and without peace, we don't get happiness. So why is our intelligence disturbed, corrupted? Because we think we are the enjoyer. So this is the basic principle of illusion, a corrupted cognitive faculty that we acquire in this world, and anything we see, anything we perceive, we immediately turn it into something that could be enjoyed by us. Anything. It's such an automatic and spontaneous thing that we do that it's practically impossible to get out of it, of this situation. That's why it is a nityabaddha, we are eternally conditioned, because this perverted condition of our consciousness, of our intelligence, is so stringent upon us, on the soul, that the soul has practically forgotten its real identity, and it thinks is, you know, that this is this real life. So how to do it? How to get out of this situation? How to recognize who is the real enjoyer of all the one who enjoys everyone's sacrifice, the real proprietor and the real friend? How to do that? Well, first of all, we have to put an end to our attempt to enjoy his nature. Another verse where Shanti is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Apurya manama chala prastitam samudramapa pravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti mapnoti nakama kami. Shanti, who gains peace? Who finds peace? A person that is like the ocean. In the ocean, many rivers, you know, contribute their water, their waters. But the ocean stays still. It doesn't, you know, grow up to a dimension that, you know, inundates the lands, or it stays still, you know, however many rivers go into it. So we should be like this. Many desires, many proposals will manifest within our minds, within our intelligence and minds. Many pushes. Now be the enjoyer of this. Now be the proprietor of that. Now be the friend of this, the intimate protector and friend of that person. You know, so many pushes like this will manifest within our heart. It's natural, that's life. At every moment, actually, there is a demand that we take these positions. But we should not fall a prey to these proposals, to these pushes. We should remain calm, remain neutral. Now that's not easy, because we are accustomed to listen to the demands of others, of our own demands. And therefore, we are accustomed to go into the arena of the fight for being the enjoyer, for being the friend, for being the proprietor. So, how to remain neutral? How to not fall prey to these pushes and to these demands? There's a very simple way, which is offering to Krishna. If whenever something happens and I am requested to play a part in one way or the other, if I play it for Krishna, if Krishna is there as the object of my activity, then I won't be contaminated by what I do. Even if I produce a big result, even if I am considered to be enjoyer of who knows what, of, the old planet. You know, some kings were the Bhuktaram. I mean, they were the sort of apparently the enjoyers of the old Earth planet. But they were Rajarshis. They were balanced. They never fell. You know, they took the service and the sacrifices of many humans and they brought them to Krishna. So even though they had such a big position, they were sort of, channeling that service they were getting, the sacrifices of the subjects, to Krishna. And they were proprietors of big, even more than one planet, some of them. But they never felt the planets were belonging to them or the kingdoms belonging to them. They always felt that Krishna was the real proprietor and they were just caretakers for Krishna's sake. And that's even more subtle and difficult, Suridham. Many felt protected by them. Like in a family, people feel protected by their father or their mother, or in the kingdom by their king or the queen. God save the queen here. Whatever, I don't know how protective she is, but people feel protected. And they gave their affection to the king or the queen, because the kingdom, provided, their shelter, their everything. But the king did not take this friendship and, affection of the subjects for themselves. They turned it to Krishna. So that is the system. Not that we stop having relationships, not that we stop being the enjoyers of something or the owners of something or the friends of someone, but we shouldn't do it for our own sake. We should do it for Krishna. Now, the impersonalist thing, tries to make everything zero, as Prabhupada says, not to be the enjoyer of anything or to be the proprietor of anything or to be the friend of anyone. And that's impossible because you want to see people sheltered. You want to see people happy. It's our nature. We want to enjoy wonderful things and especially wonderful relationships. Now, if we stop, it's unnatural. But if we do it on behalf of Krishna, if we do these things on behalf of Krishna, then it's wonderful. Then Krishna uses us as instruments and the world becomes very peaceful. Why? Because I'm not going to fight with you on account of me being the proprietor of the friend or the lover or the owner or something, and you on your account. We are doing it. We may be fighting for making Krishna happy, for giving happiness to Krishna. But that's not a real fight. That's a sane competition, and the nature of that competition is that there is love and respect. In material competition, there is no love and there is no respect. There is actually real violence and real enmity. And even though a person may be celebrated as as the savior of his own country, we have here Churchill or something, I don't think in India, they celebrated Churchill as the savior of their own country. So, one may be a savior of one country and loved by some, and maybe consider, something else somewhere else. So the real thing is that no one can be as equipoised and as Krishna, and can be friendly to everyone as Krishna is. Only Krishna is devotee. And Krishna is so kind that if you give him whatever you have, he'll give back. He's not, stingy, it's not He doesn't need to protect his wealth because it's unlimited. You know, one who has unlimited wealth doesn't have to protect it and make sure that nobody else gets it. Krishna has unlimited wealth, so he can distribute unlimitedly. And he does so when he sees that we recognize his proprietorship. And he is mentioned in the Goddess of Fortune. People try to enjoy the Goddess of Fortune. Everyone wants fortune. It's written everywhere. Your fortune here, you know, buy this lottery ticket, fortune, and this fortune, that fortune, everywhere. They're talking about fortune. But you don't get the real Goddess of Fortune. You get a photocopy of a photocopy of the Goddess of Fortune. I mean, it's like, it's the material aspect of the Goddess of Fortune, which is, in actuality, together, means you get a curse, because the material fortune, unless you have the mentality of using it for Krishna and turn it into a spiritual fortune, will be like an iron bowl attached to your feet, and you'll drown with it. Material fortune, material happiness, material wealth, good education like this, they're really big weights on our heart, and they cause our falling down into the material atmosphere. Because why? Because we think that life is worthy, material life is worth to be living and to live. You know, it's something that it's wonderful. If I am wealthy, I am educated, I am healthy, and you know, I think material life is not that bad. That's why in Kali Yuga is a fortunate era, is a fortunate time, because in other eras like Satya, Treta, I think Srila Jiva Goswami says, you know, that, you know, this method of the chanting, they wouldn't take it, because they were, you know, attracted by all these wonderful mystical opulences that they had, and you know, it was, you know, Kali Yuga, what kind of sacrifice can we make? And what will come out of it? You know, you have to go to, you know, to buy stuff, you have to go to Harrods. You know, it's not that you have a sacrifice and you say, I need this, and boom, from the fire comes out, you know, a Mini Cooper or something, you know, or whatever you need. You need to go to the place where you buy stuff, you need to sign, you know, you need to pay. You can't pay with mantras. They call the police if you try to pay with mantras, you know. Kali Yuga, actually, every attempt to become the Bhaktaram or the Surid or the Maheshwaram or the Suridam, it's actually makes us ridiculous, really. Yeah. You know, it's so ridiculous. You know, I own this. You know, I'm the enjoyer of sacrifices, my family. You know, and the children, already when they are 13, they go like this, you know, bye-bye, you know, wait, father and mother, you know, they go, you know, that, or it's so absurd. And I own something, you know, you own something, the tax officer comes immediately, you know. Oh, you're the owner of this, you know. I don't know here, but you own something. It's almost a curse now in Italy or in other parts of Europe. They come after you and, you know, squeeze you like a lemon or something, you know, to get all the juice out. It's a witch hunting. They don't send tax officers anymore. They send witches around. I mean, And what you call the man that does, you know, a sorcerer or something? They immediately, Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Gokulananda Chiki Jai. it's like this, you know, so, you know, Maheshwaram, what, you know, you don't own anything. Even Switzerland, which was considered to be the last heavenly place in Europe for taxes, they also given up the bank secret in the bank, you know. So, and with communication now, they'll know any penny you have anywhere. So every penny. So it's, what is the point? What do you own? You own nothing. You own numbers. Your numbers in a bank. If the bank goes down, your numbers are, you know, what are you going to go with your numbers? What are you going to do? You know, oh, but I have these numbers. You know, my iPhone says I have these numbers. And they say, what? You know, the bank has, you know, collapsed. The euro, the pound has collapsed. During the Second World War in Germany, right after the Second World War, they used to have, you know, notes, 1 mark, 10 mark, 100 mark notes. So the inflation was so high, they had stamps with 3 zeros. So 1 mark would become 1,000 marks. And then another three zeros, 1,000,000 marks. 1 kilo of bread was 1,000,000 marks. You know, just because you put zeros on the note, you know, it's like 3 zeros at the time. So what is this? You know, pieces of paper with numbers on it. If the balances, the equilibriums, you know, are disturbed, and they will be disturbed, because the goddess of fortune is not at our service, service of, you know, this devious humanity. So then, you know, your numbers will be nothing. And Suridham Sarvabhutanam, we can see that this tendency of replacing Krishna in someone's heart is so strong that even higher stages of bhakti, like Bharat Maharaj, although, I mean, he was in Bhava Bhakti and his compassion for the deer was, you know, a different kind, you could say, but there was a shade of desire of, you know, replacing Krishna as the protector, as the real friend, as the caretaker of as the caring person for the deer. So, and he had to, you know, he had to take 2 births after that. So even at higher stage, that's very subtle in the heart, to admit that I am not the real intimate friend and well-wishers of the people I love. Krishna is. That's dangerous. Even in spiritual life, Bharat Maharaj, you know, is a great spiritualist. And even if one is a guru or, you know, he has to be very careful to always remember that he is not the shelter giver, but Krishna ultimately is. And so that he can perform his service properly. Otherwise, when one thinks, oh, I'm the real friend of my disciples or like this, then it's very dangerous. And as GBCs or temple presidents, whatever, you know, we are not the proprietors of these temples and this, even though we may have worked like anything to construct temples or you know, buy properties, you know, we should always do performer services without any sense of proprietorship or thinking that we are the controllers of things. Then our service will be accepted by Krishna. Then we'll become, then we can control the world. Then we can own the world. Then we can be considered the friend of the world if that consciousness is there. And we should be. Prabhupada was thinking very big. He didn't want us to think, oh, don't, you know, be shy, don't own anything, don't, you know. He wanted us to think big. In Calcutta, by walking close to the Victoria Memorial, he said, "We should own this. We want it." And people were giving things to him. He would take, you know, he had four hands. He would, you know, use four hands, Srila Prabhupada, because he never thought that anything belonged to him. Even when he said, "BBT money is my money," but his my money means is the Acharya's money, is Krishna, is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's money, because it's money to print his books, to print the books. And in the books, what are the books? The books are the spiritual world, where all these wonderful personalities with all the Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's associates are present. So even that was meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So, whether we are, in conclusion, whether we are poor or rich from the material point of view, because the verse specifically deals with the goddess of fortune, whether we are poor or rich, whatever we have, we should give to Krishna. Krishna doesn't see, oh, this person has given me a huge check, you know. Two people had to carry the check because it was so loaded, you know, so heavy. Or this person has given me one coin, it's all he had. If that person had only one coin and he gave all he had, for Krishna that's more important than a huge check that you need a barrel carrier to something, that you need something to carry. So that's Krishna's nature. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated that, you know, Kulavecha, Sridhar or others, they had nothing, but, you know, whatever they had, they gave. And he was so pleased. I mean, he was so pleased that it's indescribable. Or, you know, if one had so much and gave also, like Bali Maharaj, he was so pleased. Bali Maharaj. That he, with Bali Maharaj, he was so pleased that he demonstrated his humility and his full surrender by humiliating him at the end. I mean, Bali Maharaj had so much, he had this, you know, Uchaishrava, this beautiful horse he took. But he had so many opulences. And even though he had surrendered, and Krishna knew he had surrendered everything, just to show the nature of a real devotee, he humiliated him. He got him bound by ropes, Varuna ropes, and then you know he was there. Like he had been the emperor. He was there. He couldn't even move, with all his former subjects and the wives and everything. And he accepted. You know, he was called a cheater because you promised me three, you know, steps of land, you're only given two. And he had given everything. So finally, you know, he just said, "Now put it on my head." I mean, even though I don't even own my head, but, you know, it's to put it on. And so he was humiliated. But why? So that he could be glorified. A person who had given absolutely everything to Krishna. Absolutely everything, with no second thought, as you say. So, Krishna is so opulent. And his greatest opulence, I'll tell you, they told me I should go up till 8:30, then ask questions. So, and his greatest opulence is not that of Vaikuntha, or, you know, or this wonderful, you know, Salokya, Sarsti, Samipya, you know, these forms of liberations where you get, you know, Sarsti, you know, so you get so many things. Beautiful. And that's not his greatest opulence. His greatest opulence is the intimate feelings that, you know, the most intimate aspect of himself shares with his most intimate friends. Just like one person may be very, very rich, but, you know, there is no amount of money that can pay the loving feelings with, you know, his beloved, or his children, or like, you know, there's no amount of money that can replace that, if it's true love. I mean, and in the world, in this world, or whatever. Anyhow, it's an analogy. So Krishna's greatest wealth is his emotional feelings for the devotees. Sentiments of love for his intimate devotees. So if we can gain that wealth, then we are the richest. And even the goddess of fortune, she aspires to go and experience those feelings. So that is the greatest wealth. And that's available even for conditioned soul, ultimately, if they follow the proper path, the right path, which has been outlined by the acharyas. If we really desire, Goranga bolite habe pulakasarire, arihari bolite naya nebabenir. If we, you know, sincerely desire to love Lord Chaitanya, and, you know, Radha Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, then, you know, we'll be given the chance to obtain the mercy of Lord Nityananda by loving him. Arkaber Nityananda karuna ohibe samsara basana morakabe tuchabe. And then at that point, we'll be freed from this crazy illusion of being Bhuktaram, Maheshwaram, Suridam, you know, we'll be freed. Lord Nityananda can free us from this. Arkabe Nitai Chan Karuna Ohibe, Samsara Basana Morakaba Tucha. You know, we'll get out of this revolving cycle of, you know, birth and death, in madness, in this mad attempt to enjoy this world. And then, you know, we'll, if Nityananda gives the green light, then Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti, Kama Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti, Kame Hama Bujabu Jugala Piriti. So then we'll be able to love the Goswamis and study their scriptures with, you know, with the proper understanding and realization, yugala piriti, and be admitted in the presence of the divine couple of Krishna with his pleasure potency. That's the way to go. So, but you know, an initial step, which is also, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter, and Nishkama Karma Yoga, one should offer the results of his wealth to Krishna. That's a first step, and then even work just for him at a later step, and that's essential. Not that we chant and dance, but we keep the money for ourselves. We keep the goddess of fortune for ourselves. Sometimes in India, you know, I lived there for 8 years. So, you know, some people would be so devoted, you know, we go and see them. And I remember one, he had big Hindustan tires or something. He knew all the Bhagavad Gita by heart. He had been in Gurukul. Of course, the, you know, most wonderful devotees are there. You know, as Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say, they have an advantage. You know, those who are born in India have great advantage. I mean, they're very fortunate, and Lord Chaitanya has said it. So, but this particular chap, you know, I used to go and see him. He knew all the Bhagavad Gita by heart. He had been in the Gurukul since the age 5 or something, in the Himalayas somewhere. And, you know, part of the Yajur Veda or something, you know. You couldn't even think of a verse that he would mention it before you. You know, it just started saying the first syllable of the verse, you know. But then as far as there is, you know, the result of his work. He was not very very open, you know. He kept the god. He tried to keep the goddess of fortune for himself. So one should do both. One should chant, hear and chant, and perform services. But at the same time, he should offer whatever Krishna has given him back to Krishna. And he will never be the loser. And I see here so many wonderful devotees are giving, helping a lot, because this temple is practically, you know, heaven on earth, as far as the contributions and help of so many servants of Krishna. So, congratulations, Hare Krishna. Sorry, I was a little tired, so maybe I almost put you to sleep. I apologize for that, you know. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?